everyone. It's Christina Herrick, produce editor at The Packer, here again with another Tip of the Iceberg podcast. In this episode, I talk with Yasna Kovach, associate professor of food science at Penn State University. She shares with me some of the insights her research team learned about sanitation and sanitation in packing houses. Thank you for joining me, Yasna.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So without further ado, why don't you tell our readers a little bit about the research? Because, you know, I know the research, but the people who are tuning in don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So my lab's research is mostly focused on microbial food safety. So we study how bacteria that make people sick through food end up in our food, how they survive in it, and what we can do to better control them, essentially. And one of the bacterial pathogens that we study a lot is Listeria monocytogenes. And this bacterium is different from many other bacterial pathogens because it's not only able to grow at human body temperature, but it can also grow at low temperatures, like temperatures that you would find in a food processing facility or refrigerated food storage. So that's why it presents a food safety problem, especially in the produce industry. So go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You were going to say more.
Yeah. So this means that if Listeria ends up in the food processing environment, like fruit packing facilities, it's going to be able to grow on environmental surfaces if there's nutrients present to support its growth. And if Listeria is in the environment, that represents an increased risk for transmission and contamination of food. And that's what we ultimately want to prevent foodborne illness. So Listeria comes in these environments, usually from soil. It's not uncommon to introduce it in facilities with fruit and equipment, like harvesting bins, for example. So then it becomes really important to use effective cleaning and sanitizing procedures to inactivate it, so that it doesn't end up persisting in the food processing environment. And if that isn't done, then the microbes that come in food processing environments start growing on surfaces and forming biofilms. And these biofilms are essentially bacteria that attach onto surfaces, and they start producing what's called extracellular polymeric substances, or EPS in short. And EPS feels like slime on a surface and is made mostly of polysaccharides and proteins and DNA. And so biofilms in food processing environments are typically comprised of multiple bacterial species, not just pathogens. And if we have very good biofilm formers in the environment, and if Listeria ends up being in that same environment, these good biofilm formers can enclose it and protect it in biofilms. And that then causes a problem because cleaning and sanitizing isn't as effective as it would be if we had just free-floating cells in the environment. And so our research has showed that, for example, if you have free-floating Listeria, a sanitizer called benzalkonium chloride would kill 99.9% of these cells in 2 hours. But if we expose biofilms made of Listeria and Pseudomonas to this sanitizer, we barely see any killing of Listeria. So that just shows us how problematic these biofilms are and how they affect our ability to control Listeria in food processing facilities. And it's not just Pseudomonas. There are also other microorganisms that can form good biofilms and protect Listeria in a similar way.
Yes, and that's exactly, you know, your research. I just saw Penn State published kind of a synopsis of your research, which is exactly why, you know, I contacted you in the first place, because, you know, I know packing houses and folks in the produce industry are trying to do everything that they can, you know, to keep food safe. No one wants to get anyone sick. But it almost, when I read it, your research, and obviously it was a summary, I didn't read the full research brief, but, you know, it just sounded like it was such a challenge for, you know, those people in the packing houses to keep things clean. It was almost like the odds were stacked against them. So, I have a question in here just talking about that, because obviously, when we talked ahead of time, you had explained, that you really are trying to work with those in the packing house to increase sanitation and things like that. But talk to me a little bit about why packing houses, and you alluded to this already, but a little bit more about like why packing houses are, it's such a challenge to keep packing houses sanitized. So talk about that packing house, the challenge of packing house sanitation.
Yeah, sure. So packing houses can have a variety of equipment, which depends on the size of the operation, but most of them place bins filled with apples, for example, into the dump tank filled with water, where apples are first washed and then they go through a set of brushes that remove any residual dirt. And so clean apples can then be dried and waxed. Depending on the equipment design, a lot of leaves from harvested apples can be stuck at the base of these rotating brushes, and that's really challenging to remove and effectively clean. And process of cleaning is extremely important because it is intended to remove residues of organic matter to make sure that the sanitizer, so the antimicrobial that essentially kills pathogens, is applied onto clean surfaces. If the surfaces are dirty, that dirt can inactivate the sanitizer, and so it won't be effective in killing pathogens that we want to control.
Yeah, and we talked. You kind of shared the that sometimes it's the equipment, then it's all, but it's also the size of the packing operation that kind of impacts food safety. So, tell me about that. How does the size of a packing operation or staff impact food safety?
So smaller packing operations often have fewer resources usually and less advanced equipment that might be especially challenging to clean. They also might not have a dedicated food safety team. And what this means in practice is that the personnel in charge of overseeing cleaning and sanitizing doesn't have background in food safety and may not have a very good understanding of how different factors and practices affect food safety. For example, investments into training and education of the management and employees working on ground are extremely important for building a culture of food safety, which is so important for prioritizing best practices for food safety. So essentially, the larger the operation, the more resources it might have, to invest into food safety.
That's a very good point. I was almost thinking, I wasn't thinking resources, but I was just thinking, staffing. The larger the operation, the more staff there is, the more you have to train and things like that. But you're right, there is a point where larger operations have more capital that then they can invest in food safety and training and positions and things like that. So that's a great point. And I know when we were talking, you said a really big part of your lab is outreach and training and informing those that are in the packing houses, just on proper practices and things like that. So, talk to me about that. Why is training important? And, what is your research team doing to help those in the packing operations understand, the need for food safety and sanitation?
Yeah, so my lab does food safety research, but we also work with other scientists at Penn State, for example. Dr. Luc Laborde, also in our Department of Food Science, works on research and extension. And what that means is that he organizes a lot of educational workshops where he offers food safety training to the industry. And this training and retraining is really important because it helps employees better understand food safety hazards and ultimately also how to manage these hazards. And that is good because it helps them understand how they can contribute to improve food safety and how they can help prevent foodborne illness. And so effective food training equips people with the knowledge as well as with skills that are required to maintain hygiene standards, and hopefully also empowers them and motivates them to do their part in ensuring food safety. I think personnel motivation is a major factor because oftentimes workers that carry out cleaning and sanitation work long hours or work multiple jobs, so they need to understand why the quality of their work matters.
Yeah, that's a good point too, you know, that everyone in an operation that's working in the packing house has a responsibility for food safety, even if the, you know, it's not their direct title, you know, they're not the person managing the day-to-day food safety. They are a part of the food safety practice at that facility. So that's a great point. You know, you talked about biofilms and you talked about some of the challenges that it presents to someone trying to, or an operation trying to sanitize properly and obviously eliminate any kind of foodborne pathogens. So, you know, what kind of sanitation works to prevent biofilms, or like how do you manage the biofilms that could inadvertently protect Listeria or other foodborne pathogens, and like what should packing houses do to prevent biofilms?
So I think best cleaning and sanitizing procedures are those that are implemented daily and thoroughly, because that's ultimately what will prevent biofilm formation. It's also important to apply appropriate concentrations of sanitizers to make sure that they are actually inactivating pathogens, because if applied concentrations are too low, that can result in bacteria adapting to them and eventually evolving resistance mechanisms that help them survive through sanitizer treatment. So in our work with smaller packers, we've seen best improvements in control of Listeria when they adopted daily cleaning and sanitizing, and then weekly application of biofilm degrading chemicals. But ultimately, you can have the best sanitizers. That just won't be effective if the equipment and surfaces onto which they are applied are not clean. So cleaning and putting in best effort into removing organic matter from surfaces is really critical for successful cleaning and sanitation program.
Yeah, that's a good point. Obviously, you know, if you're trying to prevent biofilms, you want to start with a clean, as clean of a surface as possible when you're sanitizing. But that's really interesting too, that if you're not applying the sand, if you're not using the right rate, the right application rate for those preventative sanitizers, or just sanitizers in general, that you could start to create some resistance, which is definitely something no one wants to hear, but it, you know, obviously it's possible. You know, growers see it, you know, with certain types of fungi and things like that on trees. You know, there's fire blight resistance and things like that. So, it's interesting to hear that it happens in the packing house as well.
Right. So a lot of packers will probably not be able to invest in research to assess, you know, the concentrations to which bacteria in their environment are resistant to. But we were lucky to be able to do something like that with the packers we're collaborating with. And we've seen that a lot of Listeria isolates that we collected from these environments were able to resist the concentrations that were applied in facilities. So based on that, we were able to work with them and made recommendations on increasing the concentration, which can then help them better control not just Listeria monocytogenes as the pathogen, but also other microbes in the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, obviously Listeria gets attention just because there's been some food safety recalls that have involved Listeria lately, but you're right. There's a lot of foodborne pathogens out there that can cause unintended problems, and so, you know, the more growers and packers can do to prevent those, the better. Yeah. So, you know, what else? I obviously sent you over some questions and we tried to kind of think of some things to ask you that would be of interest to our readers. But, you know, what else should our readers slash listeners know about the research and what you're doing in that foodborne pathogen sphere?
Yeah. So we're currently working on studying the efficacy of parasitic acid-based sanitizers on inactivation of Listeria in biofilms. So look out for more information about this coming soon. And we've been also working over 2 seasons with some of the packers that collaborate with us on research. And the goal of our collaboration was to assess the efficacy of different cleaning and sanitizing procedures in how they are able to inactivate Listeria. So we're hoping to share this information with a broader audience soon. So look forward to that.
Yeah, that well, that's great, and it is nice that you have some packers that are willing to collaborate with you, because obviously, testing what you're testing in a lab is a very different thing than testing it in a working packing house with the human element involved in there. So it is nice to hear that you've got some collaborators working and you're trying to test different efficacy of different products to really find those rates that would be beneficial. And obviously, as we talked before, hopefully avoid some resistance.
Right. I do have to say we really appreciate the openness of the industry to collaborate, because that provides us with an ability and access to these environments where we can assess the performance of different procedures in a more realistic, more challenging environment.
Absolutely. Thank you again to Jasna Kovach, Associate Professor of Food Science at Penn State University, for sharing the findings of her research on foodborne pathogens and packing houses. I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can catch new episodes of Tip of the Iceberg on your favorite podcast platform like Google Play, Spotify, Apple, and more. And that's a wrap for this edition of Tip of the Iceberg, brought to you by The Packer and PMG Magazine. Join us again soon for industry insights. Thanks again. Bye.